Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. I remember way back in 2009, I watched the national convention of my former denomination, the ELCA Lutheran Church. And I watched as pastors got to the microphone to defend gay marriage, homosexual relationships, and that's the year they decided to ordain practicing homosexuals. It was like I was watching the death of my former denomination, and they have been shrinking ever since. 6 years later, 2015, we watched President Obama light up the White House in gay pride colors. Do you remember that? Because the Supreme Court okayed gay marriage. I watched the news coverage that week carefully to watch the media rejoice over this. It kind of felt like watching the death of America. Recently, I've been watching the Minnesota State Senate hearings. If you know what's going on in our state in recent months, we now have unrestricted abortion, child sex change operations and hormone blockers in Minnesota. We have recreational marijuana, and they have banned youth with unwanted same-sex attraction from getting the proper help for that. And I felt like I've watched the death of my state. But I want you to notice what came first. First, the ELCA Lutherans in 2009 approved gay marriage. 6 years later, the whole nation did. And my point is, when the church gets messed up, it messes up the culture. I mean, if the ELCA Lutherans are willing to pay for abortion with offering dollars in the church health care plan, which they do, and now do sex change operations for adults, hormone blockers for children with your offering dollars in this health care plan, if they're willing to have the first, world's first transgender bishop, which they did, how do we expect the culture to be any different? These are dark times in America. And the problem is not the liberal politicians. Okay, they're part of the problem. You know the big part of the problem? It's the Christian church. If the church was the church, we wouldn't have this mess in America today. A few years ago, Bishop Herbert Schilstrom died. He was my bishop when I was still in the liberal ELCA branch. He was a champion for abortion rights and homosexuality. When he died, I noticed at his funeral was Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, who's very liberal. And I don't know, I'm guessing, but was he a good friend of Herbert Schilstrom? And if he was, if Schilstrom was pro-abortion rights and pro-gay, any wonder that our Minnesota bishop, who says he's a Lutheran, is so pro-abortion rights and LGBT friendly. So today I want us to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly in the Christian church. Remember the old Clint Eastwood movie, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly? Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, I was at a garage sale, and I had to buy it for a dollar. The good. I bought this as a joke, because according to the Bible, no one is good. Jesus said, no one is good but God alone. The Apostle Paul wrote, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But I bought this as a joke, but Here's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about four bad, ugly lies in the church today, and then I'm going to counter them with four good things that are going on in Christ's church today. Let's pray. Father, as we talk about some difficult things, please open our ears and hearts, open my mouth, and Lord, speak to us. And I pray that no one watching this show will be duped by the world, but instead will follow your word. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The bad thing number one in the church today. universalism. Universalism teaches everybody goes to heaven. You don't need to believe in Christ. A few months ago, at the Minnesota, in front of Minnesota legislators, a Catholic priest got up to pray, and here was his prayer. God, our Father, our Mother, Great Spirit, Allah, I think maybe he threw Krishna. He had about 10 different gods that he prayed to. You know, the first commandment is, thou shalt have no other gods. This priest prayed to them all. This is called universalism. Everybody's going to heaven. Charles is now King of England. He's also the head of the Church of England. His title is Defender of the Faith. Years ago, Charles said he'd rather be called the Defender of Faith because he wants to defend all faiths of all people. And he, when he was crowned a while ago, he prayed this prayer. God, may I be a blessing to all thy children of every faith and belief. Well, sounds nice, but is everyone a child of God? According to Galatians chapter 3, we become children of God by putting our faith in Christ. But if you reject Christ, you're not a child of God. The most liberal Protestant denomination in America is called the United Church of Christ. Often when you go to one of their websites, you'll see these words. At our church, we follow Jesus as our way to the divine, but we believe that others who are following other ways, their way is just as valid as ours. In other words, everybody goes to heaven. That's the bad. That's the first lie. It's called universalism. Now here's the good in the church today. Here's the good news. Many churches still teach Jesus is the only way of salvation. Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me, period. And hallelujah, a lot of churches still teach that. Now and then I'll get an email that goes like this, Pastor Brock, the churches are corrupt. I don't go to church anymore. I just read the Bible by myself. And I write them back, we are commanded to be in church, Hebrews 10:25. Don't forsake the church. And yes, the church in areas is messed up, but there's still a lot of good Bible-believing churches. Find one. We're commanded to be in the church. And I will list for you the churches that still teach that Jesus is the only way of salvation. The more conservative Protestant churches like Southern Baptist, Missouri Synod Lutherans, PCA Presbyterians, and the non-denominational churches and the evangelical churches, they tend to stand firmly. Jesus is the only way of salvation. All right, ugly lie number two in the church today, ethical relativism. Ethical relativism teaches everything is relative. Yeah, abortion might not be right for you, but it's right for me. And, you know, premarital sex might not be right for you, but I feel in my heart that it's right for me to have sex with my boyfriend outside of marriage. Well, talk about T-shirts. I went to a Christian conference a while ago, and they were selling T-shirts, and I should have bought one that said, "Don't trust your heart." And that comes from Jeremiah in the Old Testament, quote, the heart is desperately sick. Who can understand it? In other words, don't trust your heart. Don't follow your heart. Follow the scriptures, because your heart is sinful and mine is too. Don't trust that heart of yours. Here's the problem with ethical relativism. Let's say you and I go to the top of the Empire State Building. You tell me you're going to jump. I say, don't jump. There's this thing called gravity. You jump, you're going to die. Well, I'm glad gravity works for you. It doesn't work for me. And you jump and you die. That's ethical relativism. Now, do some denominations teach ethical relativism? Perhaps you remember me reporting on the ELCA Lutheran Youth Teen Assembly, where they put an 11-year-old boy who thinks he's a girl on stage to promote transgenderism to 31,000 ELCA Lutheran teenagers. They're still doing it. Listen to this recent article. The ELCA Youth Ministry is putting on a workshop that will be led by the mother of that boy who thinks he's a girl, And this is a youth workshop for youth workers entitled Bold, Loud, and Joyful, Raising Transgender and Gender Expansive Youth in Faith. The church is a better, more faithful place when transgender, non-binary, and gender expansive young people are a part of it. The debate around transgender children rages, making it all the more important that people of faith understand God's call to love and affirm young people in who God created them to be. Now, did you get that? According to this mother, God created my little boy to be a little girl. This is called ethical relativism. You know, it goes like this. You know, the church used to believe certain things were wrong, but times change, truth changes, we're more enlightened now. That's ethical relativism. That's the bad news. Now, here's the good in the church today. Many churches still teach moral absolutes. Many churches still teach it's wrong to kill a baby in the womb. Many churches still teach, yes, marriage is between a man and a woman, not between two women. And again, the churches that tend to teach moral absolutes are the conservative Protestant churches, the evangelicals, and the non-denominational churches, and the Catholic Church. Now, I'm a Lutheran. I have problems with certain Catholic doctrines. We could do a show on that. But when it comes to moral issues, Catholic Church is good. I mean, it's the Catholic Church that stands up for... They're the people praying in front of the abortion clinics. And it's the Catholic Church that tends to be very pro-traditional marriage. One man, one woman. Now, sadly, a number of Catholic universities have gone woke on homosexuality, but the official teaching of the Catholic Church on sexuality is good. And sadly, Pope Francis can say bad, confusing things about homosexuality, etc., but the official teaching of the Catholic Church, pretty good. So, let's move on to line number three. The bad in the church is this teaching. The church should just preach the gospel and not get involved in politics. I think that lie has done a lot of damage to America. Back in 2015, when gay marriage became legal, that Sunday, I attended two different churches. One, a conservative, biblical, Lutheran church, and another, good, evangelical, biblical, Episcopal church. Both these pastors are Bible-believing preachers. Neither of them mentioned in their sermon what had happened in America that week. And I thought, are you kidding? And why didn't they mention it? I think I know. Because our job is to just preach the gospel. We don't get into politics. Well, wait a minute. So Minnesota affirms sex change operations for children, and I'm supposed to be quiet? I don't think so. You know, listen, they're half right. Yes, the main job of the church is to preach Christ crucified for the salvation of souls. That's the main job. But we can walk and chew gum at the same time. At the same time, you can also get involved in trying to turn our culture around. The belief that the church should be quiet has hurt America. I told you a while ago about a phone call I got. Pastor Brock, get the blank off of TV. Just preach to your church, your blank, and leave the rest of us alone, you piece of blank. Well, I refuse to be quiet. It's not the job of the Christian church to be quiet. Jesus' last words on earth, go ye therefore into all the earth and preach the gospel. And yes, you can preach the gospel as your main job and still try to defend unborn babies. It's possible. Now here, that's the bad news. Church, be quiet. Here's the good news. Many Christians are involved in trying to turn our culture around. Let me tell you what happened to me recently. I got on the airplane to go visit my brother in Denver and then go sightseeing. A volcano erupted in Kamchatka, Russia, somehow depositing volcanic ash over Denver, and my plane had to turn around. I canceled the whole trip. In those 10 days that I would have been gone, I watched TV in Minnesota when the Minnesota Senate was debating unrestricted abortion, gender-affirming care for children, recreational marijuana, banning conversion therapy. About 10 of our state senators got to the microphone and did a wonderful job defending the truth. I mean, I was so proud of them. They lost. We lost everything. But they did a great job. Had I been in Colorado, I wouldn't have seen this. This is providence of God. I was then asked to come do the opening prayer at the Minnesota State Senate. I was able to meet five of them, and I said to them, thank you for being Daniel in the lion's den. Thank you for standing up for God's truth in the midst of dark Minnesota. And you know, the good news is, horrible as things are, there are Christians in Washington, D.C. There are Christians in the Minnesota Senate. They are standing up, speaking the truth of God. And there are some states, very different from Minnesota and California, there are some states, Arkansas, Florida, that are banning same-sex children's surgeries, and they're banning, to a good degree, abortion. So there are churches, there are people standing up. Pray for those people. They need your prayers. Last bad lie, the bad in the church today. God is whatever I want him, her, it to be. The ELCA Lutherans have a national magazine called Living Lutheran. Their latest edition has an article that says that God language needs to be changed. We need to be inclusive of all genders and no gender when talking about God. The article talked about a book called She Who Is, about God language. Male-focused language for God is not effective for many people. It can interfere with faith. So we need to search for language that is effective. In other words, let's get rid of God the Father. A few years ago, the ELCA Lutherans passed a social statement calling upon all bishops, synods, churchwide organizations to use gender-inclusive and expansive language for God. So if you attend an ELCA Lutheran church and you rarely hear about God the Father, you never hear God called He, this is why. God is whatever I want him, her, it to be. Other denominations are doing the same thing. I remember walking into a United Church of Christ service and the person up front, let's pray the Lord's Prayer, our Mother who is in heaven. And when I walked into a Methodist church near my house, and instead of baptizing the baby in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Methodist pastor got rid of God the Father, used other language. So that's the bad news, the lie, that God is whatever I want him, her, it to be. Here's the good in the church. Many churches, many, still proclaim God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, I'll tell you, when I go to a church, I listen carefully. And if the pastor at the end of the service says, I give you the blessing, the benediction, in the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier, what they're probably doing is getting rid of God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit language. And I think I would go to a different church. But hallelujah, lots of churches unashamedly believe in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All right, I want to close with this. As you maybe can tell, I've been upset about what's happening in the state of Minnesota, what's happening in my former Lutheran denomination and these other denominations. And I have a daily devotional book that, you know, you read one page a day. Well, this is based on Martin Luther's writings. And in the midst of my angst, I read this. Martin Luther on loving enemies. Quote, a Christian sees his enemies with the eyes of mercy and compassion. He does not wish evil on that person. If his enemy is bitter and mean toward him, a believer thinks, this big shot is miserable. He is already eternally condemned. Why would I want to wish more evil on him? If he keeps going this way, he will certainly belong to the devil. A Christian has compassion on his enemy and hopes for his salvation. In other words, Martin Luther reminded me, when I get upset by these people, I need to just stop and pray, Lord, bring them to Christ. May they repent of their sin and the craziness, the blindness that's come upon them. Bring them to Christ before it is too late. You do that too. Before you go to bed tonight, say a prayer for America, the church, and that people who are leading people astray would come to Christ before it's too late. Amen.
Welcome to the portion of the Pastor Study, where we ask Pastor Brock questions regarding the Bible. Pastor Brock, mm-hmm. Our first question today. Sometimes my pastor prays to God as mother. Should I stay in my church?
You know, there are a few places in the Bible that use feminine imagery for God, mm-hmm. like Jesus saying to the Jews, "Oh, how often I would have gathered you under my wings as a hen does her chicks, and you would not." And there are a few verses, things like, you know, as a mother loves her child, God loves us. So there's that terminology. Mm-hmm. Is God ever prayed to as mother in the Old or New Testaments? Not once. Okay. Jesus regularly prayed to God the Father, never once prayed to God the Mother. So if you're in a church where they're praying to God the Mother and you rarely hear Father, Son, Holy Spirit mm-hmm. language, I'd get out. I'd find mm-hmm. a church that unashamedly worships God and puts Christ above feminism.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've tried to encourage my pastor to talk about things like premarital sex and abortion, but he won't bring it up. What do I do?
You know, I think a Catholic lady said to me, in my 10 years or so in this Catholic church, my priest has never talked about abortion mm-hmm. once. And sometimes I'll ask people, when's the last time you heard your pastor preach about hell? And they'll say, I've never heard my pastor preach about hell. So this is tragic that you've got pastors who are afraid to take a stand. Mm-hmm. And I think with this woman, you humbly, lovingly confront them and say, Pastor, could you talk about, you know, the people at our church that are living in sin? Could you bring that up from the pulpit? Mm-hmm. And if he won't, keep praying for him, and you might have to find another church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. What about the people who died in Old Testament days before Jesus died on the cross? Will they be saved?
Yes. We know they will, because Paul, read Romans chapter 4 on this. Mm-hmm. Was Abraham saved? He lived 2,000 years before Jesus died on the cross. Mm-hmm. And Paul's answer is yes. The Old Testament saints, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, were saved by the Christ who was to come. And they had faith. They didn't understand him clearly like we do today, mm-hmm. but they had faith in God. And we believe in the Christ who has come. Mm-hmm. So it's faith in Christ that saves us, and we will both be saved.
Okay.
Yeah.
And here's the second part. I believe that there are many sincere Jews, Hindus, Buddhists, and Muslims. Why would God condemn these good people who are sincerely trying to worship him?
Well, it's possible to be sincerely wrong. Mm-hmm. And there are people who sincerely worship Satan and Kali, who's the evil goddess of Hinduism. So you can sincerely worship something and be wrong. Mm-hmm. And when the person says, why would God condemn these good people? There are no good people. We're all sinners. It's not like we've got all these wonderful people on earth, and how dare God not save everybody. We're all sinners. The miracle of grace is, why does he save anybody?
Amen.
So there you go.
Okay. Yeah. Pastor Brock, I've watched your program throughout the years, and you sound like you think your understanding of the Bible is right. But some Bible scholars disagree with you on things like homosexuality. How do you know you are right? I choose to go to the path of love, and I follow the interpretation of the Bible that I find most loving.
Yeah, and this is a person, a more liberal Lutheran person, and he's written in a number of times, and he thinks it's loving to condone homosexual behavior. Mm-hmm. I think that's hateful. Mm-hmm. And the reason I think it's hateful is because 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Timothy chapter 1, and then the Old Testament all condemn homosexual behavior. It says homosexuals won't go to heaven mm-hmm. in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So is it loving for me to tell someone, go ahead and go to hell? Mm-hmm. That's not loving, that's evil. So so how do I know my interpretation is right? Because there are liberal scholars today teaching in seminaries saying homosexuality is fine. Well, how do I know which interpretation of the Bible is right? Well, two things. Some of those scholars will say the Bible's wrong and they're right. So it's not like they're even trying to interpret Scripture. And then the other problem is this. Mona, I always like to ask the question, how has the church understood the Bible for 2,000 mm-hmm. years? For 2,000 years, the Christian church has believed homosexuality, abortion, premarital mm-hmm. sex are wrong because of the teaching of Scripture. Mm-hmm. If somebody 10 years ago comes up with a new insight that, you know, homosexuality, if you read the Greek, is really okay. Beware of people who say, if you read the Greek, like, I know Greek, it doesn't mm-hmm. say it's okay. Mm-hmm. So just beware.
K. Can you love a person into hell?
Yes. I mean, I remember an old pastor, you knew him too, that was at our church many years ago, Pastor Maynard Forrest. Mm-hmm. He talked about nicing people right into hell. And he said that when the Lutheran church back then started to condone some of these things. And he said, we're nicing people right into hell.
I think we need to speak the truth in love.
Amen.
Okay.
Yep.
I have been trying to find a church that I can have confidence in. I was raised LCMS.
That's Missouri Synod Lutheran.
But left because of their policy of not including women in certain areas and closed communion. Then I went to ELCA and have also found it to be not in line with biblical teaching. What church is really Bible-based?
Well, a couple of things to say. Yeah, the Missouri Synod Lutherans don't ordain women. They don't have women preachers over men, because that's what 1 Timothy chapter 2 teaches. Mm-hmm. So I'm with them on that one. I am a Missouri Synod Lutheran now, and I think their closed communion, that you can only take communion if you're a Missouri Synod Lutheran, I think that can be a little much. Mm-hmm. But that's their view. You're never going to find a church that agrees with you totally. So don't use that as an excuse not to go to church. You just go to a church, you do your best reading the Bible on your own, you find a biblical church, but you're not going to match up with every pastor or denomination, but you go anyway. Like, instance, you go to a good church, they preach the pre-tribulation rapture, which I don't believe in, but that guy's a good preacher, and he preaches scripture. So there you go. You can't get everything.
All right, here's the second half. When Jesus was on the cross, he told one of the other people on the cross that today you will be with me in paradise. In the Apostles' Creed, it says Jesus descended into hell and on the third day rose again. Could you help clarify that for me?
Yeah, so when Jesus died, did he immediately go to heaven with the thief on the cross? Today you will be with me in paradise. Or was he dead for 3 days and rose from the dead and then took the thief into heaven with him? You know, some of this we just got to say, you know, maybe this is the way it works. When Jesus died on the cross, he went to hell and preached to the prisoners in spirit, 1 Peter chapter 3. Mm-hmm. And then he went to heaven with the thief. I don't know. You know, some of this we just got to say, who knows? It's all true. The timing and exact chronology of it, I don't think we know.
And one day we'll find out.
Yeah, sure.
Well,
there you go, Mona. Well, everybody, thanks for being with us today. Pray for our ministry. We pray that God will bless you this next week, and we pray that God will lead you to a good Bible preaching church if you're not attending a church right now. Go to pastorstudy.org if you want to support our ministry or watch all of our TV shows for free. They are right there. There you go, Mona.
In Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Stay in his word.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.